Great to be with you on this Thursday, the 27th of March. I'd like to begin firstly by acknowledging traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. Welcome to Let's Talk. And hello to you if you're listening to the program through the National Indigenous Radio Service. We're also streamed live on the web at 989fm.com.au and on your device. So don't forget you can listen to us on your smartphone by downloading our 989 app in your app store. Now today we're going to have a conversation of sorts about the birds and the bees as First Nations sexual health and youth workers gather on the Gold Coast for the 2014 Deadly Sex Congress. The organiser is Tony Coburn, who's a sexual health coordinator at Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health Council, the peak body representing the community-controlled health sector in Queensland and at the national level. Tony, welcome to Let's Talk.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Tell us your mob, your country.
I'm Gubbi Gubbi Bachelor, so, yeah, Sunshine Coast, up from Fraser Island up to Gympie.
All right. Tell us a bit about your role at the Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health Council.
My role is to support the Indigenous sexual health and the generalist health workers that don't have a specific sexual health work with them. So, and that's right through the whole state and up into the Torres. So from the New South Wales border up to the South Australian Northern Territory borders, all of Queensland. So we coordinate, make sure they have resources, current education, information to help them do their job better.
And what kind of workforce size are we talking about here, Tony?
It's probably around 100 all up in Queensland. We've got 64 delegates here at Deadly Sex this year, and this is one of the biggest ones. We've got a lot of the Indigenous Youth Services also with us from Mount Isa, Cairns, I think it's Yeti in Cairns, Injilinji in Mount Isa, which for us is a huge thing because a lot of the time the youth workers have built up a rapport with the young ones. So if the young ones have got an STI or something, they're more likely to mention it to the youth workers, and then the youth workers can refer them down to the generalist or to the sexual health workers.
So they do work hand in hand. They're not in isolation from each other.
It's important that all of the workers for our mob work in partnership, so that there's that collaboration going on. So everyone knows what each other does in the different communities rather than be trying to work in isolation. And we sort of foster and encourage different organisations to have meetings monthly to bring in all the allied health services so they can network and see how they can work together to give our mob a better quality of service.
Well, we'll talk about the Deadly Sex Congress in just a moment and why, what's the purpose of it. I guess it touches on some of those things that you just mentioned there. But give us an idea, a picture of what the situation is in terms of sexually transmitted infections in this state and as it relates to First Nations people.
In Queensland, we've still got a huge chlamydia, which is the most commonly called the silent STI. So a lot of people don't know they have chlamydia. It's certainly prevalent between the age groups of the 15 to 24-year-olds. We're seeing an increase in syphilis, which is really a big shame because we thought syphilis had nearly been eradicated a couple of years ago. But now syphilis is certainly back on the focus. We're seeing clusters of syphilis breaking out in various communities. So we need to be getting on top of that. And also Hep B. The other big thing that we're hearing a lot of at the moment is the injecting drug use, whereas a lot of people don't think it's happening in their remote communities. It is happening. We're seeing the stats coming through. The biggest problem is that there's the shame that we don't, that our mob is too shame to go and get clean needles from the hospitals or the different services that are available to distribute them, and they're sharing needles, and that's where we're getting a lot of Hep C and in some instances HIV being shared within the heterosexual community also.
And what are the workforce coming back to you when telling you about the issues related to delivering services related to, reducing those infection rates?
A lot of the time there's only one generalist or one sexual health worker in a whole community, and that's difficult because if it's a man, the girls aren't going to want to go and talk to him. So if we could increase the workforce so that we had a male and female worker, that does happen in some communities, but generally there's only one person trying to educate the whole community about these issues.
And what about community attitudes themselves? Are they changing?
Slowly, very slowly. A lot of the time we find the older ones are saying, this isn't happening in our community, we don't need this sort of information. But unfortunately, it is happening. And we're seeing the stats coming through with certainly the injecting drug use, the Hep C transmission, the Hep B, which is sexually transmitted. All those stats are starting to rise in Queensland, and it is a concern.
I was there on Tuesday for the first day of the Congress and sat through some of the sessions. The thing that I found interesting, particularly when community health organisations shared their stories, most specifically the NPA and Yarrabah, who we're going to hear from later this morning, they talked about the mobility of young people that, and I guess that's an issue as well. In delivering,
It is, because a lot of the time people come for different reasons, whether it's traditional business or sorry business or whatever, and sometimes they'll stay for a month or whatever to support the family, but then they're having unsafe sexual practices with people in the community also, and the young ones are very transient, you know, they're... And it's hard to track them down to do the contact tracing to get them treated, to get them on treatment. You know, a lot of the STIs are treatable if we can get to them quick enough before it gets out into the community.
Yeah, because then the other impact on the community is that people's sexual fertility is affected as well, which might mean that people can't make babies anymore, make the next generation.
Certainly, the chlamydia is the biggest problem with that, because it actually, if it goes untreated in the young girls, the fallopian tubes become scarred and they can't conceive a child. But it can also eventually make the men infertile also, and people don't realise that the boys can be affected just as bad as the girls. So, you know, if they're having unsafe sex and getting an STI that goes untreated when they're young, and it can go on untreated for years and they don't know they've got it unless they're going and having a urine screen. Then when they decide, you know, they've met their partner and they want to settle down and have family, then they find out that they can't conceive because they've had chlamydia for so long that the fallopian tubes are scarred and it's not possible.
And given those challenges that one faces, I guess... people have to come up with not novel. Novel's not the word that I'm looking for, but creative ways to deliver that particular service out, to encourage our mob to practice safe sex, to wear condoms, to get tested regularly, that sort of thing.
And that's one of the. That's very true, and it's one of the reasons why we have Deadly Sex, is to bring everyone together to share ideas, information, how things are working in their community, how they've managed to get the young ones screened, what their stats are, how they're reducing infection, but also how they're going and working with the community to get this STI under control.
And have there been some good news stories in this year's Congress? Because it's been going, for 12 years now? Not the actual length of the Congress, but how many years it's been going.
There is some good news stories. The stuff that certainly some of the remoter communities are doing is certainly raising a huge amount of awareness. We're seeing testing increase. So obviously some of the stuff is working. But people are going, oh, maybe I have had unsafe sex, maybe I do need to go and have an STI checkup. And an STI checkup isn't as scary as what everyone thinks. It's normally a pee in a jar and a blood sample, which is, you know, the blood's taken out of the arm and that's it. And if they do come back with an STI, 90% of the STIs are treatable if we can get to them.
I know the Congress wraps up today. What's been the highlight so far for you, Tony?
I think hearing the different presentations, the Healthy Attitudes presentation, we had some STI stations where we had the Gold Coast Sexual Health Clinic actually come down, Dr. Stuart Aitken and his staff, and we set up four stations with, I suppose, models, not real models, but so the workers could actually see how a pap smear is done, how the blood is collected, how the swabs are taken, and it's not as scary as what people think. It's not like the old days where it was intrusive. You can actually go off and do the swabs a lot of the time in the bathroom yourself. So I think all that stuff is really exciting, that the workers are actually getting to see how this stuff's done so they can actually reassure the clients or our community mob that it's not as embarrassing and shame as what it was 20 years ago.
And you also had some interstate presenters as well.
This year is one of the first years we've actually invited some delegates up from VARCHO, the Victorian Aboriginal Community Control Health Centre. We've invited the three STI workers from VARCHO up to share with us their resources and ideas as to how they try to get the word out to community, whereas Queensland has a reasonably strong workforce. We need a bigger workforce, but VARCHO has a much smaller workforce, is our understanding, but they create incredible resources. So it's sharing that information across the state, because a lot of our mob are transient. They can be in Queensland 1 minute and a week later they can be in South Australia with family.
What happens after this in terms of the Congress? Are people able to access the information that's been shared there, or I guess they might see something happening at a local level in terms of those services?
We certainly hope that all the delegates take on board what has been delivered over the last 3 days and look at how they can adapt the information and put it to work in their communities, and gives them a little bit of, I suppose, of inspiration to go, oh, maybe I could try doing that in my community if I did this, this and this. I'm there all the time, so people, all the delegates can contact me. If they've got my phone number, my email address. If they're wanting resources, we can access resources for them, or I can help them create the resources. It depends on the individual specific community as to what they require, because what works in one community doesn't always work in another community.
Yeah, certainly moved away from that one-size-fits-all
model. And we needed that needed to happen, and it has happened over the past few years, where what works on the East Coast doesn't work in remote Western Queensland or up in the far north.
All right. Well, Tony, I appreciate that the third session is underway there, so I'll let you go back to the Congress. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Karen. Have a great day.
You too. Tony Coburn, Sexual Health Coordinator with the Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health Council and the organiser for the 2014 Deadly Sex Congress happening on the Gold Coast as we speak.
Hello, your mob. Me Atia. You know what? I recently been thinking about when I was in high school and how I always used to go for tests. Even though I've been studying proper hard, I still been get nervous. I've been doing math tests, English tests, science tests. True, I've been doing all kind of tests. Lucky there never been a Facebook when I've been go school. Otherwise, I've probably never been have my sexy face in a book. Shut up. No good now. The reason why I've been talking to your mob about my proper sexy face and how I've been going for tests all the time is because I wanted to tell you, mob, that I recently been discovered a test where I've never been have to study. It's an STI test. You don't need to read no book when you've been going. You just need to provide either a urine sample, a swab, or a blood sample. It's extremely important to be educated about safe sex, your mob, but it's even more important to be tested for STIs if your mob are sexually active. You might still get a little bit nervous, you know, when you've been going, but like the other tests you've been doing, there's always someone there to help you. For more information on being tested, speak to your GP, sexual health worker, or even the two-spirit Spirits team at the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities on 3017 1777. That's 3017 1777. All solid.
This message is supported by Two Spirits and is funded by the Australian Government Department of Health and Ageing.
Still to come here on Let's Talk, we're going to hear from some of the delegates at the Deadly Sex Congress. First up, we'll hear from Milton Mossman and Paul Neal from Yarrabah talking about the work that they do in their community.
My name is Milton Mossman. I'm from Yarrabah. My tribe is the Gungandji tribe. I work in the health service at Yarrabah, which is called the Girini Yolmaka Health Service. And I am one of the male health, male sexual health workers.
My name is Paul Neal. I'm a Kokajangan and Gungandji man from Yarrabah. My role is a youth wellbeing officer.
Tell us a bit about the work that you're doing in sexual health.
Yeah, the presentation we did, it was a program that we that was introduced to Yarrabah back in 2009, I think, and we had the program up and running in 2010. It's called a young person's check. It takes about a 15-minute check, so it comes with incentives as well. You get a $20 credit voucher, you also get a store voucher as well, and then you go into a draw to win a mini iPod. Yep. It goes over for about 3 weeks. So it goes from, depends when you're going to set your dates. Depends how you work with the youth. If you know the youth a lot, so it sort of catches the youth between 15 to 24 years of age, eh?
What's the population with, say, number of young people in Yarrabah?
I think that population, we rounded off around about, I think it was about 800.
So what STIs are you dealing with in a community like Yarrabah?
We do the basics, so we do the trichomonas, gonorrhea, the chlamydia. We also do the syphilis. Now we've got a new program there up and running, which is the hepatitis stuff.
How do you find the young people there? Are they open to talking about their sexual health, or is there still some stigma attached? Paul?
There's still a lot of stigma attached. Luckily, the YPC has been running for those number of years, and it did form a rapport and sort of alliance with the youth in Yarrabah. I guess my side of what I help out in the YPC as a youth worker is the engagement part of it, and going out to transport and pick up and just getting kids in there to have that health check. So just having the local knowledge there and using the youth themselves as the main anchor of the program helps a lot in it. Having people like Milton and Anitama and Katrina in the clinical side of it when they roll up into the YBC also helps with familiar faces that are going to check them out, have a talk to them, and also explain it to them in ways that they would understand. So, yeah, but there's still a lot of stigma. And, Milton didn't say that we've got 71% in the years that we've been doing it. So, that's a great number, and hopefully we benefit from the past and create more of a better percentage.
There's a lot of youth that travels a lot, so it's good that we could probably try and catch them, because there's a lot that goes to school as well, schools out of the community. And if this year we try to catch them through that holiday stuff, so if we can sort of get them here and while they're here on the holidays, then it would be much, the percentage would be a bit more greater than what we did in the past 3 years.
And Paul, the sexual health is just one aspect of young person's life. There's so many other things that's going on with them, and I guess that's where you come in.
Yeah, definitely. I come from the social and emotional wellbeing background, so we're talking about, lack of identity and loss of identity, overcrowding homes, unemployment. So this is the type of stuff that determines why kids aren't there doing stuff. A lot of them put on out in high school because there's nothing there for them after high school is done, because the employment rate is 80% high unemployed. We got 300 houses in Yarrabah, and the majority of them are overcrowded with three families living in them. So there's a lot of factors that come around also that outside with the sexual help that I could do with talking to them, seeing what they need from my side of it. So using Milton and sexual health program to, sort of two birds with one stone, it works well. And Girini Yilumka Health Service pride that, and that, you know, they give us the opportunity to do that sort of program and run and deliver through the community. And, you know, we'll have to also thank the Yarrabah community for, you know, accepting it, engaging it, and creating it as their own. Milton and Intema did a lot of work behind the scenes, and you can ask them themselves. So they know that without the community, we don't really have the numbers or any kind of stats. So lucky that we have people like the guys we're working at with Girini Yilumka Health Service and the Yarrabah community.
When you look at statistics between Indigenous and non-Indigenous, the differences are quite alarming, especially on issues like life expectancy, education, employment, and other social factors. The same can be said on STIs or sexually transmitted infections. Sexual health expert, Dr. James Ward.
Compared to white fellas, we've got very high rates of chlamydia and particularly gonorrhea. What we do know is the rates of chlamydia are about three times higher in the cities among Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people, and about seven times higher in remote communities. So that's for chlamydia. Chlamydia affects young people. It's a very heterosexually acquired infection. It's largely asymptomatic, so it doesn't show any symptoms. And people don't often know that they've got chlamydia. And in terms of gonorrhea, we don't see too much of it among Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people in the cities, but what we do see is quite a lot of it in outer regional areas and in remote and very remote communities. And again, that one is a very heterosexually acquired infection, and it does show symptoms, but people often don't recognise what those symptoms are.
Dr. James Ford, if you think you may be at risk of an STI, or even if you don't, it is always a good idea to have a sexual health check if you are sexually active. For more information on being tested, speak to your GP, sexual health worker, or even the Two Spirits team at the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities on 3017 1777. That's 3017 1777.
This message is supported by Two Spirits and is funded by the Australian Government Department of Health and Ageing.
Hello, my name is Aaron Tamway, and I'm from the NPA in Bamaga on the tip of Cape York, and I'm the health promotion team leader at the Family Resource Centre in Bamaga.
And who are you, Mo Baron?
My family's from Darnley and Badu.
Okay, cool. You're here at the Deadly Sex Conference here on the Gold Coast. We're at Crown Plaza, and you've just finished doing a presentation. They're talking about the work that you're doing in the NPA. Tell us, what got you interested in this field in the first instance?
I was always interested with health, and so I was just given the opportunity to start work. At that stage, I was just working at the local supermarket, so I took the chance, and over the years, I've managed and been lucky enough to learn a lot of stuff and help my own mob. Yeah.
Well, we know that there's a gap. There's that life expectancy gap, and the health status of our mob is, needs to be addressed. And you're working in the field of sexually transmitted infections. Tell us about the NPA area and the kind of challenges that it presents in terms of trying to address the rate of STIs and, you know, in that community, in those communities.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, with STIs, it's always a challenge because we've got to find creative and different ways to promote healthy decisions, you know, and living a healthy lifestyle. So with the youth, the challenge is just to try and get their attention and make a connection with them. And especially, you know, with our mob up there, they travel a lot, you know, from the islands and through the Cape and down to Cairns and Townsville and, you know, even Brisbane. So their chances of actually getting an STI even increases, and even the chance to spread it. So, what we're trying to do is just get those healthy messages out there and trying to promote healthy lifestyle and healthy decisions as a great way to live your life. So,
You gave some examples of the screening that is conducted in the community, but also about how to get, you know, condoms to encourage people to use condoms. Can you talk a bit about those examples?
Yeah, you know, with the high STI rate, you know, and we can't really stop our young mob from, you know, having a bit of fun. So, but what we can do is actually promote condoms as an effective way of preventing STIs and unplanned pregnancies as well, while you're still having fun. So, well, you know, if we can make it like a normal thing, it's all good.
You were recruiting some champions, some leaders of peer groups to help dispense condoms, because you're finding that when you put them in places where condom vending machines, they were getting vandalized.
Yeah, you know, so me and my team, we thought about it, and we realized that the best way to get the condoms out there is directly into our target group, which is, you know, youths aged from 15 to 24. So so once we went out into the community and did some research and find out about the peer groups, it's just as easy as just giving a box of condoms. Yeah.
And in terms of getting them to screen more regularly or to, you know, have follow-up visits, particularly if they've tested positive, what have you been doing in that regard, and have you been making some inroads?
Well, you know, we always got to try and find different ways of getting those messages out there, either be it through posters. Facebook is always good. But, you know, up there, I always try and have a yarn with them young mob whenever I can, just to get those healthy messages out there, because maybe they'll read the poster, but, you know, I reckon nothing can beat a good yarn, I think, to get your message across. Yeah.
And that's translated in people going in and getting an STI check?
Yeah, you know, I always try and promote what's going for regular health checkups. It doesn't have to be just for an STI, but it could also be for your blood glucose level or other chronic illness risk factors. Just to go in for regular checkups every 6 months or so as part of living a healthy lifestyle, you know.
All right, well, we're going out to a Queensland audience, so there might be some young fellas or even some old fellas listening to this. What advice would you have for them in terms of looking after their sexual health?
You know, just always protect yourself, and it's better to prevent these STIs or any other diseases instead of waiting until you get sick and getting it treated. So, you know, just go for regular checkups and just, you know, I'll look after your own health and you'll stay out of trouble.
Aaron, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I'm Karen Durante. That is Let's Talk for today. Don't forget, join me tomorrow morning from 9 for our special guest from the University of Adelaide. Stay with us now for the latest news here on 98.9 FM.